अमज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासखितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपाद सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनते नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी वाश्चात्यदेशतारे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। So recently, I started a series of topics called as Bhagavad Gita for Corporates, which I have been doing long ago, one or two. Recently, I am doing almost 50 to 80 topics from Bhagavad Gita. I just made a long list. So I am going in the same order wherever I am traveling now. So I will... Today, so we had one topic on be impartial and avoid groupism, which we had before. One topic. Then we had one more topic on contemplating on the welfare of others, including enemies. So we had. So today is the third topic I'm speaking. This is from. The topic is personality and personality versus characteristic. This is page 38 of Bhagavad Gita. So the goal of this Bhagavad Gita for Corporates topics are, nowadays we find that modern Indians have aversion for Bhagavad Gita and Vedic literature. One of the most commonest answers we get from them when we show these books is that I am not interested. Yesterday I went for book distribution. So, whenever a boy would say, I am not interested, I would ask him, are you not interested in becoming happy? No. And what he would say? I said, yes, I want to become happy. And this is happiness, take it. That's how I used to preach to them. So, because many of you are working in companies, all of you after studies you go to company. So, the purpose of these topics is to learn to connect Bhagavad Gita to the modern day situation. By doing so, it will help us also to know how to apply Bhagavad Gita in our daily life. It will also help us to preach in the companies by showing them that Bhagavad Gita is not some old scripture that is obsolete, and that is not applicable in the modern times. But Bhagavad Gita is actually, it's actually for all time, place, circumstances. We can show that. So, we are reading from the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 1.3. Here in this series of verses, you will find Duryodhana is addressing all his top-notch generals assembled at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, going from one great personality to another, like Dronacharya, or he goes to Bhishma. So he is talking to all the big generals, and he is also taking a survey of what are the strengths on his side, and he is making a comparison with the strengths of the soldiers on the other side, Pandava side. So while making an assessment like this, he is talking to them also. So we will see what all he spoke to them. And by hearing these words of Duryodhana, by speaking these words, Duryodhana is clearly showing his diplomatic nature, his diplomatic intent, because behind everyone's speech, there is certainly some motive behind the speech. Whenever people talk in this world, there are certainly some motives behind behavior also. It's not only the speech. Speech is one thing. Like the speech can be speech of flattery. Flattery, chaplusi, we say, praising others just for the sake of getting things done. That can be flattery. Or the speech can be honest speech. Same way with behavior also. The behavior sometimes may be very, very pleasing to others, but the pleasing behavior may have certain wrong intent also. Acharan, one's behavior, external behavior also, how one behaves. So Duryodhana is not an ordinary fellow, very smart, business smart. So you find Duryodhana that when Shalva was coming from Madras towards north for the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana employed a trick on him. Actually, Shalva had a desire to fight on behalf of Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. But what did Duryodhana do? Midway, he arranged for a palace, beautiful palace, and food supply and water supply, everything. When the horses came, Shalva's horses are fed with water, and Shalva along with all his soldiers were received in that pleasure bungalows where they were fed sumptuously and they were given good rest and everything. Shalva became so overjoyed. Shalva just made a remark. He said, "Oh, such a wonderful arrangement. Whoever has done this for me, I will serve them. Or I am their friend, I will do whatever they say." Something like that he said. And immediately Duryodhana jumped up from the background, from behind, and he said, "My dear sir, I am the one who did all these things for you. So you should fight in the battle on my side." And Shalva was shocked. Shalya, I think. Same Shalya, right? Shalya, no? Yeah, Shalya. He was shocked. He said, "I thought Yudhishthira Maharaj had arranged all these things." He said, "No, he's too late. It was me who did all this." So he's a very business smart fellow in this sense. So this is an example of a duplicitous behavior. To win the heart of Shalya, he did all these things to pull him to his side. In those days, the Kshatriyas, they would never go back in their word once they give a word. So Shalya fought on Duryodhana's side because of this. Similarly, you find Duryodhana knew his weaknesses also. He could see that Arjuna is extremely powerful in the martial arts exhibition and all that. So, but he wanted somebody on his side who will be very, very powerful, like Arjuna. So when he was looking for someone, he could see that Karna was one who had such a talent. But Karna was actually not recognized by the society at that time, because he was counted as son of a So Sutta, he was considered like that. He was the son of a charioteer. So Sutputra, whatever. So because of that, he was unrecognized, but Duryodhana was intelligent. He had his own intelligence. So he thought, if I take him to my side, I can use a thorn to, you know, take out a thorn. So if I have Karna on my side, he can later on help me to kill Duryodhana, and I will kill Bhima. That was his thought. So at the most momentous hour, Duryodhana saw that Karna was in a dire need of saving face. You know, when was it? When the martial arts exhibition took place, at the time Arjuna was displaying such complex talents. Like, you know, there would be a horn hanging and Arjuna would send arrow after arrow and all of them will go into that horn. Exactly. And many types of javelin throwing, spear throwing, aiming at a target, and riding on chariot all around the ground and doing different types of chivalrous talents were being exhibited by Arjuna. And all the audience, thousands of them, they were cheering, clapping hands. At the end of his display, everyone admitted there was no one who can be in par with Arjuna in excellence. At that time, everyone heard a sound from the gate side, somebody clapping their arms, like that big sound. And everyone's attention went there. And there this Karna was standing. He said, here I am. I can also show you all these talents and much more. And then he was given a chance. And he showed all his talents. And everyone could see he was no less. He was exactly like Arjuna. Every talent he could exhibit. Very, very powerful. But then at the end of all those talents, Karna, after showing them, he became very envious of Arjuna and angry with Arjuna. He wanted to kill Arjuna on the spot. So he challenged Arjuna, come, let's have a duel, fight. And immediately Kripacharya and Dronacharya, they all saw that this fellow is bent upon killing Arjuna. And if these two guys fight, it may be a never-ending battle. Because both are very powerful. So Kripacharya came forward and he asked him, who are you? What is your identity? The Vedic times, the identity was very important. You just, nowadays modern days, although people ask your name, but your identity is not given so much importance. Except that as long as you say you are an engineer or a doctor, you are good enough. The Vedic times, people would ask a person, what is the lineage in which you are coming? So when he was asked about the lineage, he put his head down. Because he was ashamed to declare in the public that I am living at the house of a charioteer, Sutta. Because Karna did not know his mother and father at that time. Only later on he came to know who he was. So he put his head down and then someone brought the message that he is actually son of Radheya, isn't it? The son of Radheya, who was a Sutta. So then Kripacharya said, I am very sorry to tell you that fight can happen only amongst duels. Those who are belonging to royal class families, they will only fight in duel only with another royal class person. Then you, the fight that you are desiring cannot happen now. So Kripacharya declared. At that time, Duryodhana, seeing the situation of Karna, he came forward and he took his command law and everything and he said, I am making him the king of Angadesh. So he offered some oblations of water and put mukut on his head, coronated him as king of Angadesh. And he said, now he has become a king now. Now we declare him that he is a king. Now he is fit to fight with Arjuna. Let us have a fight and see. So anyway, by the time the whole program had come to an end and there was no subsequent fight after that. But the result of this incident was that Arjuna developed, Karna developed a vengeance towards Arjuna. And he developed a thick friendship towards Duryodhana. And this was Duryodhana's trick. He was very diplomatic in his behavior. His whole idea was, it's not that he had any great love for Karna or anything. He actually wanted to use Karna for his own purposes at the time. That was his plan with which he got Karna on his side. Now you can see that many companies also adopt this kind of behavior. This is not very difficult to understand. The modern times, as you see, we are talking about behavior. Behavior. Why a company does what it does, the company, the top people in the company, they can say. Because every company has a certain style of operating. When to do what at the appropriate time, and how to take people on their side. Nowadays the body shopping is very common, from one company to another. Like if somebody is having a talent, very good talent, and is working in a certain company, this can be moved from his company to our company. So along with coming to a company, he can bring the secrets also. So people do all kinds of crooked things to get a person by paying him little more, or giving him some, dangling some carrot. People get. I am especially talking about people who are working for 10 years or 8 years in companies, project leaders and all. They are pulled by some companies very tactfully. They get that. So, not only that, they also work on how to, one of the goals of any company is to pull down the other companies down. We have to go up and we have to pull down others, both. Then the difference in success would be very enormous, isn't it? So, for that also many people do many things, diplomatic things. Like I heard in the British times also, foreign governments would invade India, they would hide the grains and all, the sacks of grains and everything. Because why? Without eating food, people can't survive. If you want to control people, one of the ways to control people is to hold the grains. You hold the grains, and then people are begging, because you can't eat paper, then you can't survive. So then, at a gunpoint, keep everyone under your control. Things like that. So, I was telling about diplomatic behavior of Duryodhana. Here in these verses, you find diplomatic speech of Duryodhana, in these verses. Actually, Duryodhana, it is not that he was less intelligent. He was really smart. Very intelligent. But all his smartness had a wrong motive attached to it behind. That is the whole problem with Duryodhana. Diplomatic. And we will see in this verse how he is speaking. See, in text number 3 he is saying, Pashyaitam pandaputranam acharyam mahatinchamum yudham drupadaputrena tavashishyena dhimata. Oh my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada. So he is telling Dronacharya, Tavashishyena Dhimata, he is saying. Tavashishyena means your Shishya. Who is Shishya of Dronacharya? Drishtadyumna. So indirectly he is pinching the ego of Dronacharya. He is telling Dronacharya that Tavashishyena means you knew very well that this is Drishtadyumna, born of Drupada, through a fiery yajna. He is going to be the cause of your death. It was already known before. And then why did you accept him as your disciple? And why did you teach him archery? Why did you train him? And just see, the very same fellow now, he is in the Pandava side now, and he is arranging all the phalanxes, military phalanxes and everything. So by saying this, Duryodhana wanted to tell Dronacharya, anyway, you already did one mistake of training him, and then he is going to be the cause of your death. Now don't do a second mistake of being careless with him in the battle. You have to fight him out and make him your top priority, killing him. So, in fact, this also could be considered like sarcasm. Tavashishyena dhimata. It is your shishya, when you say like that. You could have avoided saying this, isn't it? But by saying this, he incites the anger of Dronacharya. Because Kshatriyas, they have to be, when they are incited, then they act more powerfully. Actually, even like Arjuna and Bhima, once when they were in the process of killing one Rakshasa called Hidimba. So Arjuna saw that Hidimba was killing him, trying to fight with Hidimba over and over again the entire afternoon. And he was not getting killed. He was a very powerful Rakshasa. In the evening, the most twilight hour was supposed to come, and Arjuna was afraid that if this Rakshasa is not killed, and they will become double strength in the evening, the twilight hour after that. Then Arjuna turned to Bhima and told him, "Oh, my dear Bhima, it seems that you are very tired, my dear brother. Now you go and take rest at home. You go and take rest in the cottage or something. I will finish this Rakshasa, don't worry." And Bhima heard it, he got wild. He said, "Arjuna, who said I am tired? Maybe you are tired, you go and take rest. I will finish him now." Then he lifted up Hidimba and he rotated him some 100 times. And he dashed him to the ground. And that fellow gave out such a loud cry, the entire forest became filled with that noise. So you find that sometimes Arjuna inciting Bhima. Similarly, in the Kshatriya code, Kshatriyas, if a Kshatriya wants to motivate the other Kshatriyas, so one of the ways of motivation is to incite his anger. Sometimes you say that, maybe I am doubtful whether you will be able to do or not. "Who said I cannot do it? I am here. Sab log hat jao." Like that. Draupadi is asking Bhima. She's telling Bhima, "Bhima, do you know there is a lotus with 1,000 petals in the Mandakini Ganga near the Kailash Parvata?" She's telling, and Bhima said, "Yes." But she said, "I don't think you'll be able to get it." "Why? Who said I cannot get it?" "Because it is protected by the Yakshas, and I think it belongs to Kubera." Yes. "No one can stop me. You just keep waiting and I am going and fetching it." So this Kshatriya. Kshatriya, if you want Kshatriya to do something, what you have to tell him? "I think so. I don't know whether he will be able to do or not." He said, "I will do it." So he knows how to incite the Kshatriya nature, how to bring out that talent. So he is saying, "Tavashishena Dhimata." So he is your disciple and you have trained him. And I think he is going to kill you. I am doubtful whether you will be able to fight him out or not. So he fight, he says. Then he's saying, Atrashura Maheshwasa Bhima Juna Samayidi Yudhano Viratascha Drupatascha Maharataha. Here in this army are many heroic bowmen equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna. Great fighters like Yudhana, Virata and Drupada. Then he says, many names he says, Vishtakena, Shekira, Tana, Kashirajasya, Vivan. He is making a list of all the different great fighters. And then he is saying here, Asmakam tu visishtaye tani bhoda vijottama nayakamama sainyasya sajnartam tan javimite. But for your information, O best of the brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. Bhavan bhishmascha karnascha tupascha samitinjayaha ashwatthama vikarnascha Samadattis Tathayvacha. There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Krupa, Ashwatthama, Vikarna, and the son of Samadatta called Burishava, who are always victorious in battle. So, while talking about his army, first word he says, Bhavan. Bhavan means you. Actually, Bhavan is a respectful you. Like in English, you only we say for everything. To be you. Tum also is you. And for your father, teacher also, you only. In Sanskrit, it is Tvam means you. That is a normal person. And for more respectable people, Bhavan. Like if you want to ask someone, sir, what's your name? Bhavatah Namakim. You have to ask. So it's a very respectful you. For elders, it is used Bhavan. So first he is quoting Drona's name for various reasons. One reason is, now he is talking to whom? Yeah, so he is quoting his name first. Because if he says, my army is very powerful, in my army Bhishma is there and you are also there, what would that mean? That you are second, you are not so important. You are there, and then he says Bhishma also is there. So he is putting his name first. And that is also another reason why he is putting his name first, because Drona is a Brahmana. People argue, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all this caste system, why upper, lower and all these things are made. But it is understood in the Vedic times that a Brahmana who is wise, who is learned in the scriptures, he is considered the intelligence or the head of the society. Kshatriyas are considered the shoulders. Of course, here the Brahmana Dronacharya is playing the role of a Kshatriya. So opposite, when one is transcendental, they can play another role also. But because he also has the Brahminical intelligence, he is calling him as you first, Bhavan. He is calling him Bhavan, Bhishmascha. And that is also to encourage him by calling his name first. And then while quoting, surprisingly you will find here, powerful people's names is quoting. Bhavan means Dronacharya, Bhishmascha, Karanascha, Krupascha. These are all just like if somebody says, you know, we have his holiness Nagarnath Swami Maharaj, Jayapada Goswami Maharaj, Gopaksha Maharaj, Lokanath Swami Maharaj, and you are also there. If somebody tells you, you may wonder, what is this? I am like odd man out. Isn't it? You are calling the names of royal swans, Paramahamsas. And along with the Paramahamsas, you are including one neophyte devotee also. Doesn't make much sense. Similarly, here he is including the name of Vikarna. Because Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, these are all very, very powerful people. Outstandingly powerful people. In fact, it is said Bhima is like a small fig in front of Bhishma. Bhishma is extremely powerful. But here he is including one name, who is Vikarna. Who is Vikarna? Vikarna is one of the Kauravas, 100 Kauravas, brothers of Duryodhana. But why he has left out all other guys' names and only Vikarna's name is attached? There is a reason for that. When Draupadi was about to be disrobed, Vikarna was not afraid of Duryodhana. He stood up and he spoke words of morality. So he was not afraid of Duryodhana. He said, how can he do this to Draupadi? She is the daughter of the entire Kaurava race. And you are the king. He said, it's a great disgrace to the Kurus that we are bringing her to the public and disrobing her like this. Like this he spoke up. And immediately Duryodhana had his antenna out. Signal, oh, this fellow is not, although he is on my side, although he is one of my brothers, still he has some affinity for Pandavas. So I have to take special care of him. He took a note, and here he is quoting his name along with whom? All big, big Maharathis. Of course, Vikarna fought on Arjuna, Kaurava side only he fought. At last, he remained with his brother. So sometimes there will be defectors. You know defectors? Defectors are those, just before the battle they may change sides. Nowadays it's quite famous, parties. People jumping from one party to another, they wonder who is going to win. But they have to jump before the elections take place, not after seeing the votes. Of course, after seeing votes, people jump nowadays, shamelessly. Because they know that if I go there, they will give me some post or something. People jump like that. So he was upright, Duryodhana. This fellow should not jump off to Pandava's side. So he is taking his name to encourage him, along with the names of stalwarts.
अन्ये च बहवशूरा मदर्ते त्यक्तजीविताः नानाशस्त्रप्रहरणाः सर्वे युद्धविशारदाः. There are many other heroes
who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake, all of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science.
Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishma abhirakshitam paryaptam tidametesham balam bhima abhirakshitam.
Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. So he is telling, we are protected by Bhishma and they are protected by Bhima. And our strength is like oceanic and their strength is insignificant. And we have 11 Akshauhinis and they have only 7. We are 100 of us, Kauravas, and they are only 5. In this way he made a miscalculation by seeing the external capabilities. So this is one of the tendencies of a materialist. A materialistic mind always calculates based on material calculation. So he doesn't see, okay, it is true, from a material point of view I am better off than Pandavas. But the Pandavas have Krishna with them, that one in front of all the zeros. All the zeros, material qualifications are a string of zeros. You put a one, then the value immeasurably increases. So Krishna is the father of all religious principles and the source of all creation and is the supreme divinity. And he is standing there on the other side, which nullifies the opposite party completely. That he could not understand. So this is what is the greatest foolishness of Duryodhana. Despite all his diplomatic talents, despite all his material skills and techniques and tools and talents. So here he makes a miscalculation. See, there is a beautiful quote by one famous writer, David Jordan. He is saying, there is no real excellence in all this world which can be separated from right living. What is this? You all repeat this. There is no real excellence
in all this world
which can be separated
from right living.
So who are doing the right living? Pandavas, devotees. And who is showing great excellence here? Duryodhana. He has a lot of excellence, but he is not doing the right living. He is trying to... He actually has been always making a plot to kill the Pandavas right from day one. By feeding poison to Bhima and by setting fire to that Varnavat Lakshak and all that. Step, one by one he tried. And now the culmination of all that is the Kurukshetra battle, where he is facing the Pandavas face to face. And still he is proud of his techniques and tools and unaware that Lord Krishna is on that side and Pandavas are always upholders of virtue. And they always follow in the footsteps of the father of all virtue, which is Krishna. So Bhishma often used to tell, Bhishma and Drona, they would tell Duryodhana that, you know, they are protected by Krishna, who is the father of all virtue. And they always uphold virtue. Dharmo rakshati rakshatah. It is said, those who protect virtue will always be protected by virtue. It is said. So you can never defeat them. Often Bhishma used to tell Duryodhana. So, he says in his book, Stephen Covey quotes in the beginning of his book something very interesting. How he wrote this famous book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he gives in the prelude in his book. He says he was going through the management books and different kinds of books for the personality development in the last 200 years. Last 200-250 years he has been going through the older books and the recent books. He says there is a very remarkable difference in the recent books which have been published in the last 50 years. And the books that were published in the last 200 years, that means before this 50 years. If you see the books 200 years, there is a very remarkable clear-cut difference between these books. What is he saying? The recent books the 50 years of books, they always focus on outward success. He says, and how to get outward success? They focus on some quick solutions, some techniques and tools. How to, for example, it says, you know, like he gives a quote, interesting quote: smiling wins more friends than frowning. Like, you know, they say smile is the curve that straightens up things, they say, you know. Those kind of statements. Like, you know, for example, PMA and PRT are two vital training techniques in many of the HR companies you will find. PMA is positive mental attitude and PRT is public relation techniques. So public relation technique is external behavior. And positive mental attitude is what should be your mindset. These two things. And these two are vividly taught to not only receptionists in hotels, but even for the people who are in customer care, people who are dealing with the clients, especially those in the front office in any company. So every company has a front office and a back office. So the front office people are given training in these things especially. And also those who are handling major responsibilities in the company, they are given training in this thing. But what is this training if you carefully observe how to smile, how to shake hands, and how to speak sweetly, and how to talk very tactfully to win the people, so that they will, you know, you'll be able to get to do them what you want them to do. That is actually the goal. To that effect, you know, these guys have studied the, you know, bodily gestures and everything very, very deeply. In America, at one time, they used to think that 90% success comes from techniques and tools. And we will actually, the way we deal with the client, we will capture the client. And as far as the mindset is concerned, according to them, positive mental attitude means, if you think you can win, you will win. You don't have to worry about anything else. You just have to be confident. You just have to be courageous. You just have to be bold. And if you think you can't win, you can't win. That's why Shiv Kaila wrote the book, You Can Win. That became a famous book. Just you think you can win, you'll win. Of course, Shiv Kaila's book is not just techniques and tools. It talks a lot about character, if you see. Although he gave the title, You Can Win. He goes to the core. Just like Stephen Covey goes, also. So he says the recent 50 years of books are all focused on this only, this kind of things. And then he says when he saw the books, 200 years of books, what has been published, they focus on something called as character ethics. So focusing only on the techniques and tools is called personality ethics. Focusing on the core character of a person is called as character ethics. So in that what all comes, for example, keeping your promise. You're never going back in whatever you promise to someone. Like if you give a promise to a company, even a verbal promise, that I'll work for you 2 years, it will surely work. Not that anyway I gave only a verbal promise, if I run away, what they will do, you know. No. Nowadays even after giving written bond, people run away. And then they have to chase after the person and find him out, you know, which company is going, and then they will send to that company, don't admit this fellow in your company, this fellow worked with us and he cheated us, he will cheat you also. They have to do all that, you know. Yeah, people don't keep the word. It's a lack of integrity, lack of character. And also, the things like he's saying, many a list of principles: integrity, humility, courage, justice, patience, simplicity, modesty. Many qualities he's listing. He's saying that people who live by these kind of principles, for whom the character is very important. Money is not so important for them. Character is more important. For the sake of character, they will forego money also. For the sake of character, they will forego their life itself, if need be. For the sake of character, they will even forego the job also, if need be. So people who live by such principles. Like in India, we had such great leaders like Gandhi, and Vinoba Bhave, and such kind of leaders in the past. India is a land of saints also, you know, many saints. It is like you read this book, My Experiments with Truth, Gandhi writes many wonderful things he says there, you know, how he was a boy of character, you find. So, Prabhupada also says how when he was in his school, different types of professors, Prabhupada explained about one professor who spoke against karma theory. Prabhupada heard it and Prabhupada wanted to talk back. Out of respect for the teacher, he didn't talk back. But he shared with other friends and everything. So Prabhupada was a man of very high integrity even in his school days. Very high character and integrity and everything in his childhood itself. So those who live by such kind of core character and principles, even if they lack techniques and tools, still the other people can trust them very easily. They will earn the trust of the other people. In fact, the whole book of Stephen Covey is based on this one principle only. How to win the trust of other people? Not by diplomacy or techniques or tools or trying to behave in duplicitous ways or to flatter the other people. Not by those things, but by regaining core character, working on improving one's character. So, actually, why character is difficult? Because if you are a man of very great values, then you should be ready to suffer for the values. Most people are not ready to suffer for the values. I'll tell you, for example, many parents, they bring their children to us and say, "Would you please admit my child in the Bhakta Prabhupada school? You know, somehow or other I want him to become a good boy or a good girl, whatever. You know, then please tell him to do this, tell him to do that." I used to tell them, "Why are you telling me?" You can tell them also. You are, after all, a parent. And they say, "Naturally, it is difficult for us to tell our child to do this because we ourselves are not doing it." You know, like a mother says that, "No, please tell him not to watch TV. You know, tell him to study the school textbooks." Why don't you tell him not to watch TV? We are only watching 6 hours a day, in the evening. And the child is, so they want the child to study and they want to watch TV. You understand? No? Once at Bhakta Prabhupada school, I told this example. You know, the parents came and dropped the child and they were going to movie. You know? And child was smart. Child asked, "Mama, where are you going? Papa, where are you going?" They said, no, you study, we are coming, we will come back." No, "Where are you going?" Then the father said, "Okay, we will not tell you lies. We are telling, I am going to a movie." But the father said, "But anyone who goes to a movie, you need a mustache. Otherwise, you cannot come with me," father said. And the child asked, "When will I get a mustache?" Then the father said, you'll have to become 16 or 18 years to get the mustache. Then the child said, "Okay, I will stay back and study." So they were about to leave. Child immediately jumped up and said, "But father, mother doesn't have mustache. How is she going?" So, children are also smart. They watch. This is such a simple common sense intelligence for anyone to understand. You cannot tell someone to do something and then at the same time you don't do it. One boy, I don't want to mention the name, he's preaching in one university. So he wrote a mail to me recently. "Prabhuji, I am finding book distribution more easy and enjoyable." Why? Because in book distribution I come across many boys to whom I can distribute the books, and I come across new boys. And most of the new boys whom I meet, they are all full of praise, appreciation and everything. So in this way, every time I meet new boys, I keep telling them, "Read this book," and everything. "I prefer that type of preaching," he said. "But I don't want to preach to boys DYS and EBG and everything and bring them and then grow them." I asked him why. This boy is living single, a devotee, and he is getting boys to his room and trying to make them into devotees. He said, "As soon as I bring the boys to my room and they start staying with me, they start looking at me, how I behave from morning to night, what are the words that I speak, and how is my behavior, how are my attitudes, they start watching. Then it becomes difficult for me. Then they come to know who actually I am. Then it poses a great difficulty. And in order for preaching like that, I need a lot of purity. And for getting that purity, I have to suffer a lot. So I feel that instead of suffering to get that purity, better that I distribute books to new people, and that way I can preach." Then I replied him back. Recently, just 2 days ago, I replied him back saying that, if you are staying in a room and getting boys to your room to join your room to do the morning program, everything, you can solidify them in preaching. You can make solid devotees by that. And they will all come to 16 rounds just like you. But if you are distributing books here and there, you know, he may not be able to make devotees like that, right? Although he may be saying that I am doing service, he may go to a certain place and he may distribute books 2 years, 3 years, and he may come back to Pune, and he would not have made any devotees, correct? So now you have the choice, either to make solid devotees or to just distribute books and do some welfare work for the suffering souls. In general, what do you want to do? And he thought about it and he replied back, okay, Prabhuji, I'll try to make solid devotees. Replied back. So I wrote to him, you need charisma to attract people, but you need character to hold them. Without character, you can't hold people. So this is the central theme of Stephen Covey's book. So, he says, people can experience only long enduring success and long enduring happiness as they learn to integrate these principles in their life. Long enduring success. If you want quick success, you can quickly, just like, we worship demigods, Kshipram, Kshipram Himanushailoke Siddhir Bhavati Karmaja, quick success if you want. So, Purnachandra Pooh used to call it as push button success. If you worship demigods, devatas means push button, means you push the button and you get something out, isn't it? Push button success you get, immediately. But, if you worship Krishna, you will get long-term success, everlasting success. Same thing with this also. Superficial techniques and tools, using them with a diplomatic attitude in the mind. In fact, in the West, they have found out recently, I read this in one book by one German, Neuenberger, one psychologist. He is saying that when we apply techniques and tools superficially, externally, but heart of hearts we have some cunning goal, that creates a kind of difference between inside and outside, and that difference causes stress. He is saying, he has found out why stress comes when people are deceptive. You are not outside in, inside out. You are not inside and outside the same person. You keep something inside and outside you put up a show. And that kind of behavior is shown. That difference inside and outside causes the stress, that over a period of time a person goes mad practically. He becomes greatly stressed and he suffers terribly afterwards. So, if a person externally shows some very nice behavior, speech and behavior like Duryodhana did, but you know that he has manipulative intentions, even once you detect it, then what happens? In future, any other, sweet behavior he shows towards you, you may also consider it a manipulation. You may think, as soon as the intent was bad, intent is more important than content, it is said. So as soon as the intent is bad, immediately what happens to you? You become fearful of the person and you lose trust in him. And then you think, oh, you're a dangerous fellow, my lord. This was his intent, this was his intention. Then what do? Then you keep distance. And then as soon as that fellow comes to you, even with some sweet talk, still you are afraid. The fear comes. On the other hand, there are many people with character, you find that the core character is there, the core principles they follow. Like the Pandavas, they had a very high character. You see that for the sake of, keeping the word, Yudhishthira Maharaj was ready to go to the forest for 12 years. In fact, even Bhima and Arjuna said, right now you tell us, right now we will wage a war. When they were defeated in the gambling match, they were ready to wage a war immediately and finish off all the Kauravas. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said no. We had agreed for this and we have to keep the word. 12 years our dharma is to go to forest. So they were ready to suffer for their values. By going to forest. These are the Pandavas, with core character. And Pandavas also knew, amongst all the principles of dharma that the Pandavas followed, the topmost qualification of Pandavas is that they were devotees of Krishna. It is not enough to have morality without devotion to the Lord. Like you find, there was a Nala Damayanti, and they were very pious people, Nala and Damayanti, but they were not devotees of Krishna, because of which you don't find their name in the pages of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says. Whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas, they were great devotees of the Lord, which is transcendental morality. So because of that is the highest character, to have God as the protector. They were protected by Krishna always. So because of which you find the Pandavas ultimately winning. They were five and here Kauravas were 100, but Pandavas won. So in order to cultivate such kind of core character, in telling of his book he explains law of the farm and law of the school. He explains. He says law of the school means what? You cram the subjects and you vomit them out. And then you forget them. How many of you remember geography you studied? Or history? You remember? Very little. Now if I ask you, can you say something about the golden age of the Guptas? Or can you say something about, isn't it? Many times we forget. Maybe one or two things we may remember, but mostly we forget. Because it's a cram and vomit. Cram, vomit, get marks and forget. These are the steps. You know, school education. So it's called as law of the school. Law of the farm means you sow a seed and you water it and then the seed germinates. Again you water it. And the small plant, tender plant comes. Then you put a fence and you prevent it from the goats and the elephants and everything. And you keep on watering. Day after day, every morning you go to the garden and see it. Still no flower has come. No fruit has come. Like I used to garden in my school days, this tomato, tomatoes and the jandu flower. Jandu flower plant you have seen? First it will come small plant. You keep on watering it, it will come bigger and bigger. Once I got fed up, actually, 2-3 weeks are gone and no flower is coming. Father said, no, you have to be very patient. Keep on watering. And then one day I found a green color bud was there. And Father said, just wait and see. The yellow one will come out now. The next day that green bud, it exploded, opened and then the flower came out. And after some time you find the flower and the fruit and everything. So it takes time. Law of the farm takes time. So character cultivation takes time. The core character cultivation takes a lot of time. Which means we will commit mistakes. We have to keep watching our behavior, our speech. Are my intentions pure in doing certain things to someone? How is my behavior? Like sometimes somebody comes to your house, and so many people say, oh, so happy to have you this evening. I was very much waiting for you. And then inside they think, again, this fellow came. Would you like to have a cup of juice? Or would you like to have a cup of water? And secretly think, anyway, he will want juice only. Even if I don't give, he's going to ask anyway. Thinking like that. And then say, why don't you stay with us for a couple of days more? Oh, if he stays even one more day, it's a big headache for me. It'll be nice if he pushes off. You think like that. But then you externally you say, oh, it will be nice if you stay for a couple of days. So most often people do drama. The drama of being nice and everything externally, while internally not having good qualities. So that is why the internal attitude is very important. So one has to actually watch always, how is my attitude and how to improve. So one of the ways of improving our inner attitude is by the internal compass that we all have, which gives us a guilty feeling, which we call as conscience. And also the sacred scriptures, which are also the guide. So we have to study the scriptures to know the right behavior, and we also have to see the internal compass, which is our conscience. The combination of these two we have to apply in order to improve our inner core character, to become better individuals. So, he says that, law of the farm and law of the school, the personality ethic is like the law of the school. Because you want some quick solutions. The modern day society always goes for quick solutions. For example, you eat like anything, more and more and more. Eat in, fast foods and this and that, you become fat and, your flesh is growing in all directions. People become so heavy, so stout, suddenly they wake up to realize, they see that they have become overweight, 140 or 150. Some people become very heavy and doctor says, it's very dangerous for you, too much fat, you will die. Then immediately they want a quick weight loss program. They go and suddenly And nowadays boats they put up, you know, put a man with a loose pant and the one, you know, you can quickly lose your weight, huh? In just, you know, in 6 weeks you can lose 60 kgs or whatever. You know, it's very dangerous actually to lose weight like that. If you increase the weight quickly and lose the weight fastly, you will quickly die also. It's not a proper method. Doctors have found quick weight loss programs are very dangerous. They can have a disastrous effect on health over a period of time. In modern day always goes for quick fix, foolishly. So, that's why we find, which means, you know, they want the plant to grow quickly. You put the seed, you put fertilizer, you try to get the plant out and get the fruit immediately. That's also quick. That's why the fruit comes, but there's no taste if you put all these external agents, isn't it? But if you allow the fruit to grow on its own course, you know, allow its own course. Similarly, our character will take time. The cultivation of character takes time. You may smile externally or you may speak gently, but the inside of our heart, to change our nature of our heart, behavior of it, takes time. And one has to painstakingly do that. That's how one should follow the Shastras. One has to imbibe good character by painstakingly admitting one's mistake and trying to improve. There are many things one can do. So, here we, as I was telling you here, the diplomatic Duryodhana. He is thinking, he is very smart, but he doesn't know. He has missed out in his calculation one very important factor. Which is that factor? Krishna. Because of which the ultimate end result of the mathematical problem is a wrong answer. Isn't it? A very vital factor is missed out. And then he is saying, Ayaneshu cha sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthithaha Bhishvamevabhirakshantu bhavantah sarva evahi. All of you must now give full support to grandfather Bhishma. As you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. So Prabhupada is saying in the purport, Duryodhana, after praising the prowess of Bhishma, further considered that others might think that they had been considered less important. So he is usual diplomatic way, he tried to adjust the situation in the above words. He emphasized that Bhishma Deva was undoubtedly the greatest hero, but he was an old man. So everyone must especially think of his protection from all sides. Like that he said. You understand, no? Now, he clearly said in the previous verse that we are protected by Bhishma and they are protected by Bhima. So everyone will think, alas, you know, Dronacharya may think, oh, you are saying that means Bhishma is the one who is actually protecting, I am simply Namke Vaste, or I am simply there as a, you know, dummy, isn't it? So, in order to tell them that, no, don't think that you are all useless and Bhishma is the only one I respect. So he is telling them, Bhishma is anyway an old man, and you all have to protect him from all sides. If you don't protect, then he won't be protected. So he is encouraging others also. So, these are verses spoken by Duryodhana to Dronacharya and others, army people, in his own very diplomatic way, while making a material calculation. Generally people only calculate materially. If Papa says, they see how much money, bank balance I have in my bank account, next year how much I have, subsequent year how much I have. People see how much money I have and how much influence over people I have in this world. How much fame and name I have. How many people, like people often want to know whether we have political contacts in high level people, in MLA, in MP, in top level political influence. So people often go by these external qualifications that one has, and they miss out on the core character. We often find that. So, to put it more simply, precisely, we have two factors in our life, character and competence. Character and competence. Out of the two, character is very vital. And competence is not something that you can do away with. We need competence also. But competence without character is useless. Like we were given a question in one of our seminars that in your village, one of your friends, he became a general physician, doctor. He is a general physician. You know him very well, and he is a man of very high character. But in the neighborhood city, there is a doctor, Mr. Organ Chor. He is very famous. He has got a degree from London. And now you have to go for some, you know, surgical operation or something like that. And he is a MS, master of surgeon. He is a surgeon. Surgery he has done. And he is a foreign returned man, and the whole world knows him, world acclaimed. But the only problem is, there are some talks going on that he steals one of the kidneys of people. And he exports it abroad and he makes money. That's why his name is Mr. Organ Chor. So they asked us, to whom will you go? Will you go to your general physician, doctor friend, or will you go to Mr. Organ Chor for your surgical operation? Yes, let us take a vote here. How many of you will go to your general physician friend? Almost how many? Eight or... But how many of you will go to Mr. Organ Chor? Nobody has the confidence, eh? Yeah? Carry who? That's the correct answer actually, Because the general physician, he is not competent. He cannot do the work. He can't do surgery. Somebody may love you. For example, if I take an iPhone, come and tell you, come here, I'll do surgery. How can I do surgery? I love you very much. Come. Very dangerous. You will not accept, Because I'm not qualified, You need a qualified surgeon. So, at the same time, that qualification alone is not enough because his motives are dangerous motives. So you have to carry both. That's why we said character and competence. We need both. So, it's not that techniques and tools are bad. Techniques and tools can be considered to be having life only if there is core character. Without core character, it's like a body without soul. So we can say like body is like the techniques and tools and soul is like the core character. So we need both. Character and competency, we need both. So I would like to read one section from Srila Prabhupada. See, exactly this page came. I just opened exactly this page. Krishna is inspiring, See, this is the 20th chapter in this Teaching of Queen Kunti book, page 147. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck, they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relationship with the Supreme Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. You understand what He says, In the material world, if someone asks you, so what do you do in life? I am dependent on my parents. Oh, really? You are not standing on your own leg. You should have a job yourself. And you should be giving money to parents and you are dependent on the parents. So it's considered a very sad state. One is dependent on others. Whereas with respect to Krishna, to be dependent is considered glorious. The material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt at becoming independent of the laws of nature. Beginning from Ravana, who wanted to, Ravana wanted to prepare a staircase to go to heaven, heavenly planets. Down to the present age, they are trying to overcome the laws of nature. They are trying now to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on Him. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor. Valor means with great strength, but at the same time depend completely on the Lord. The Pandavas are ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Sri Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. You see, character and competence. Yeah. Still they always looked for the mercy of the Lord, because they knew that every living being is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is, therefore, to become dependent on the will of the Lord, instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anath, are without any guardian, whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanath, are those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to become sanath, so that we can always be protected by the protected from the unfavorable conditions of material existence. Like the purpose goes on. You understand this point? Huh? So she becomes sanat by depending on the Lord, he says. So we always should know that these techniques and tools, even if you apply them, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purports, Prabhupada says about this, I'll tell you that. Correct. Yeah. This is 16.16. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the demoniac man knows no limit to his desire to acquire money. He thinks only of how much assessment he has just now and schemes to engage that stock of wealth further and further. For that reason, he does not hesitate to act in any sinful way and so deals in the black market for illegal gratification. He is enamored by the possessions he has already, such as land, family, house, bank balance and all that. He believes in his own strength, he is saying. And he does not know that whatever he has gained is due to his past good deeds. He is given an opportunity now to accumulate such things, but he has no conception of the past causes. He simply thinks that all his mass of wealth is due to his own endeavor. A demoniac person believes in the strength of his personal work, not on the laws of karma. You understand, no? Many people say, no, I was born poor and I worked so hard in my life and then I got this much. So it's because of my perseverance that I have attained this position in my life. Correct? Many people say like that. Do they ever bring God there? Like, how did he get so many marks, Prabhu? It's my brain. My brain. They raise their collar like that. How did you fail in the subject, Prabhu? This Ganesh cheated me. You know? I broke coconuts for him, he cheated me. You understand? Exactly the opposite behavior. Huh? What is he saying? According to the law of karma, a man takes his birth in a high family or becomes rich or very well educated or very beautiful because of good work in the past. The demoniac man thinks that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability. Like that he says. You see? He thinks it's my strength. All the demons, they think like that. Recently, there was Kartikeyan Rajaraman from America. This fellow is from South India. But after his undergraduation, he went to US and in University of California, I think UCLA, he did his MBA. And after that he joined the stock market and everything, and he started growing in business like anything at a very young age. He grew up very, very big. He became one of the richest men in the world. One of the top rich people in the world. And how much dollars he made, such big digits, I saw the number. And after getting so much money, he had three children also. Recently, due to the recession, there was a stock market collapse. The money collapse was so great. One day when he saw that the money, so much of money of his was lost and everything, he came home, he took a gun and he shot all his children in the head. All the three children and his wife also, and he shot himself also. And he died. It's a very, very recent news. Yeah, I got a copy of the news with me. Gaurangpur gave me a copy and I went to Bombay. Actually, I heard the news even 1 week, 2 weeks before. Gaurangpur said somebody printed it out and they sent it to him. You can imagine, yeah. Because he thinks it's by my endeavor, I have made so much money, he thought. And then now when he lost the money, he thought, what will the world think of me? So I am a great person, I have done all these things. So there is no God in picture at all. Although this fellow is from South India, you can imagine. South India, there is so much opportunity to become Krishna conscious. But because he went abroad, he got this, he got money, he was going higher. The more the higher he went and thought, I am the cause of everything. When there was a big collapse of market, he thought, what will my friends think of me? What will the world talk about me? It was too much for him to take up. So he shot everyone and killed himself also. Yes, see. This is the danger of an outward life. Simply living life very externally and hollow internally. So the Pandavas, every one of them are so chivalrous. Nakula and Sahadev, they were very famous for what? Anybody know? For sword fighting. Of course, Sahadev was very talented and skillful in many arts. But sword fighting was their most famous activity. And Bhima was famous for? Mace fighting. Arjuna was famous for? Archery, yeah. Yudhishthira was famous for? Dharma, but what? He fought or he didn't fight? Javelin throwing, spear throwing. It was very famous. See, famous means they were number one in that. Nobody could beat them. They were like world champions. Number one in that. But this was their competence. But despite their competence, they are depending on the mercy of the Lord. He is saying. So that leads us to another topic, next topic, which I will be talking elsewhere, about how no matter how competent we are, unless we know that it is all Lord's mercy because of which we are competent. If we don't know that fact, then we are simply superficial. So we have to be aware, balam balavatam chaham, my strength comes from Krishna, buddhir buddhimatam asmi, my intelligence comes from Krishna also. So one should never embark on any project without praying to the Lord and Guru and Krishna and the previous acharyas first, begging for their empowerment and begging for their mercy and blessings and guidance. One should pray for all these things. And heart of hearts one should pray. And one should also firmly believe within the heart that I am able to do wonderful things because I am like a puppet in their hands. They are doing good things through me. And we also can apply techniques and tools and strategies and ideas and innovations and creativity, all that is allowed, provided we are doing it as per their wish, as per their desire. And also, we should not do anything with the desire to inflict suffering on others by diplomatic behavior and cunning behavior like we see. Duryodhana did. Modern day society is filled with this. This Kauji was telling me the other day, Nandasita Prabhu. He was telling that there are many items in the sweet shop which look very attractive but which are very harmful for health. You know? They look very attractive. He said when they put soda, it comes very attractive. But they put so much soda, but when it goes into your stomach, it will cause trouble inside. But he said the foolish, gullible masses, they want things externally attractive. That's why it's the world of cheaters and the cheated. The other day, Vishwanath Gopal Prabhu, he gave me an apple. It was reddish, like anything. Dark red. Blood red it is. Dark red. So, as soon as he saw the apple, I said, oh, this is like Kashmir apples, no? I ate it, and all, and then next day he brought another apple, which was, you know, I'll show you that apple. You brought that apple? Yeah. You can see this apple, which is very simple looking. So, not only that, the reddish apple was also apparently more sweeter also, because they give sweetness injection and all nowadays. Huh? Like saccharin, huh? You know, they are having many, many ways to add saccharin to the fruits. Like the grapes also, externally they put saccharin, so it's whitish, you'll find. When you eat it, you eat the saccharin and it appears sweet. But inside there is only water, because they grow it very fast. Yeah, see, this apple is simple now. So when he gave this, this wasn't very sweet. So later on, when he asked the doctors and found out, they said this is better than that apple. That apple is, you know, made, nowadays because of the biomedical engineering, they are making the pigment of the fruits very attractive and very colorful and shining. Because people know, people go by the eyes. Now when you go to the market, people, isn't it? But although this one looks very simple, it is very nourishing and very healthy. So it's like organic. This one is like organic, directly naturally grown without any artificial thing. So this is God's creation. And that one is given an external coating, like I told you, superficial, Duryodhana coating. Duryodhana coating, absolute cheating. You understand, no? Just see. So you can, I'll give all of you a homework. You can do this. One first homework question is, Srila Prabhupada going to West and giving Krishna consciousness. You can write some 5 to 10 lines on this. You can write bullet points also. But apply this knowledge, what you learned today, to Srila Prabhupada giving Krishna consciousness to the people of the West. Yeah. And second question, you can write our voice preaching strategies and techniques and tools and many things that we apply. Our approach, preaching approach. You know, once Srila Prabhupada said, by hook or crook, distribute my books. Prabhupada said. So many devotees started employing cheating. Like you take the book, you know, topmost yoga system. You know, somebody will ask you, oh, there are some yogasanas in this book? No, yoga system it is saying. And the devotee says, yes, 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 you will get all yogasanas, take it. And the fellow may take it and he may go home and he open the book and there are no yogasanas there. You know, he may get cheated. Then he will become, so he's gone lost his goodwill at certain times because a devotee is cheating like this. Or they will go to the airport and they would ask ask a man for money for some book. Say he buys a 10 rupee book and he gives a 100 rupee note. And they would stuff his hand with another 9 more books. Please take this also, I don't have any change. So he will say, no, no, I want the money. He will say, no, no, you take the books. They will run away, you know. So when the news came to Prabhupada, he was very unhappy. He said, this is not the meaning of hook or crook. What Prabhupada said by hook or crook, distribute by books, he said, you should know the art of talking to different people differently to push our books. Like if you see an IT corporate boy, he may say, if you read these books, you will become free from stress. Immediately you will take the book. If you see a mother, you can tell her that if you buy this Krishna book, you can tell stories to your child. Because mother is more concerned about child only, you know. There are many stories for your children, please take it. And then this is technique, Prabhupada said. How to be persuasive in our approach in distributing the books. So we can use techniques and tools, but our intent should not. We may say, no, no, Prabhu, my intent was to give them Prabhupada's books, give them mercy. No, yes, we want to give them mercy, but we have to know how we are behaving. We cannot cheat. Because if we cheat and lose the goodwill, then in the long run our society cannot flourish when we lose the goodwill. Like you see, Duryodhana didn't flourish in the long run because of his cheating tendencies and his diplomatic behavior. Like of course you find in the case of Sanatan Goswami, when he saw the innkeeper speaking very sweetly to him, words of flattery, he was wondering, why this fellow is so sweet to me? Because he himself has been a diplomat in the court of Nawab-e-Zain Shah. So Sanatan Goswami is very, very smart. It's not that Vaishnavas are, gullible or fools. Vaishnavas are the most smartest. So they are very intelligent, but they will apply their intelligence for Krishna service. So he immediately turned to Ishan and asked, Ishan, do you have any gold coins with you? And Ishan said, yes, I have 7 gold coins. Doing it all, he took the gold coins packet and he put it on the table. The innkeeper and said, sir, take this gold coins, keep it with you. The innkeeper was shocked. He said, how did you know that I wanted these gold coins? And then he told Sanatan, I was thinking that I will give you a room in the lodge. At night I will arrange for someone to murder you and take away these gold coins. I was actually planning like that in my mind. I was planning, can you imagine, murdering Sanatan just for the gold coins. And then he said, but now that I have, I am very pleased with your behavior, you please take back the gold coins and I will not kill you also. He said, Sanatan said, nothing doing, you take the gold coins, keep it with you. I don't want it, you keep it with you. He said, then innkeeper happily took that money. And then he scolded Ishan, why did you carry this death knell with you? He asked him, because with gold coins you were about to be killed. And then he saw Ishan's face was showing some symptoms. Then again he turned and asked, Ishan, do you have any more gold coins? He asked him. And then Ishan, now he had to admit, he said, one coin I have kept for myself, he said. And he said, you go back home. He said, you are unfit to travel with me now, anymore. He sent him back. So we find that Sanatana Goswami was very intelligent also, very smart. But with devotees they never did politics, or diplomacy, or cheating or anything like that. So it's very important when we are dealing with people. People will see our behavior and our speech for a period of time, what kind of person we are. The trust is not developed very easily. It takes a long time to develop trust, but breaking trust takes one moment, can break the trust. It's like, you can say, it takes a long time for the kumhar. Kumhar means, who is that? Kumhar. Potter, to make the pot, you have seen. It requires a lot of skill also. And you have to move the hand in a certain way to make the pot inside and outside and all that. At last, when the pot comes, it dries up. What it takes to break the pot? Do you require a doctorate degree man to break a pot? Even a child can break a pot. If a child comes and gives a kick, the pot can break. Similarly, it takes a long time to develop trust in the hearts of people. But to break trust, very easily can break. By one wrong behavior. And it takes a long time to again rebuild the trust also. So Duryodhana employed a lot of tricks and he certainly lost the trust of Pandavas. Certainly lost the trust of Vidura, Bhishma, Pitama, all the elders. He lost their blessings completely. He lost their blessings. He lost the blessing of Krishna also. Because he never chose Krishna. He thought he is more smarter than Krishna. And he was finished in this battle. In this way, and Stephen Covey explains in his book, Personality Ethic and Character Ethic, he says, character ethic is very important. He says, this is explaining even for karmi, top-notch, CEOs of companies. So even for them, character ethic is very important, he says, if they don't have it. For example, in one company, they had a product, which was having some defect. In the quality control department, they said that there is a crevice in the product. And some client had given this order. So now, if a man has a character ethic, naturally he will tell the client, that sir, there is a crevice, this product can be used only for 4 years. After 4 years, the crevice may grow and it may lead to a fatal accident. Then the customer may be disappointed because he may say, sir, I paid one lakh for this product. And you are saying, it's supposed to last for 40 years and you say it will last only for 4 years. So how can I pay you 40, How can I pay you 1 lakh? He may say that I will pay only 1/10, because it's going to last only 4 years. Now the man who produced the product, he is losing a lot of money. 90,000 is losing, right? So out of 1 lakh, he is getting only 1/10 of the money. Probably it may be a no loss, no profit. Or it may be even loss also for him. Because there is so much depreciation of the machine and everything. But if man is of character, he will do it. But one sure thing is that when the customer sees that this fellow has revealed this truth to me, despite experiencing a big loss for himself, then what he will do, in future he will never ever go to anyone else. He will always come to him. You understand, no? But if this fellow cheated him, and after 4 years it led to a fatal accident, other people come to know, other clients come to know that this company produced a product which led to death, then nobody will go to him. Just see, You understand, no? You see, how our intentions and motives in the long run, that's why I told you, long enduring success if you want, you need character. If you want quick success, yes, techniques may work. Techniques and truth may work for quick success. But for long enduring success, you need character. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Gopal ki. Thank you very much.